Shut up! Put this thing on!
Just be logical for one
Fuck
second,
logic.
Please! Listen! Just listen to me for one second. Now, you've got the suit on, and you're a much better swimmer than I am, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Just yes! So I've got a plan.
What's the plan?
I drowned, and you tow me back to the rig.
No! No!
Yes, this water!
No!
Only a couple of degrees above freezing. Like, go into deep hypothermia. My blood will go like ice water. Right? My body systems will slow down. They won't stop.
Vince.
You tow me back, and I can be revived after maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Almost didn't have the mic in front of me.
That was Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio in her lead role as Bitch.
Yeah, that's pretty much her role in this, which we'll get into.
Oh, yeah.
Old School Movie Podcast. I'm Mike Auger.
I'm Matt Castro.
And we are talking about, what year is this again?
1989,
James Cameron's The Abyss. Alan Silvestri.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. He has, boy, what a list of credits he has to his name.
So, when we decided to cover this movie, I think the making of this movie and the drama behind it is far more interesting than the movie itself.
I agree. I have so many notes on this movie and almost nothing about the movie itself. It's all behind the scenes, trivia, drama, fights, deaths, drowning, stabbings.
Yeah, those are the things to really talk about.
The movie itself is like, it's okay. It's fine.
This movie's highly regarded, though.
I know. Okay, so, wait, before we do this, should we do the stats?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, directed by James Cameron. Do I even need to say that? The guy's got like six movies, and they're all incredibly famous.
Yeah.
It did come out in 1989, August of 1989. This is yet another in our long-running series of extremely famous movies that all came out in a very short time period in 1989,
mm-hmm.
Which probably half explains the box office. Budget was somewhere in the range of between $43 and $47 million. It ran fairly over budget and definitely over production schedule. And the box office was $90 million. So it was not a disaster, but it wasn't a hit.
Yeah.
Also worth noting that there were two other undersea drama adventure movies that came out earlier that year, because they did the other competing studios did the thing where they found out James Cameron was going to do an underwater adventure, so they rushed a couple out. Then this came
one
out
of those Hunt for Red October.
No, I think that came out in the 90s. I think it came later.
Okay.
No, they were two things I had never heard of them. I saw the names.
Okay.
They were like sort of B movies, I'd say. And so when this movie came out and didn't do as well, the studios said, well, maybe people were just sick of underwater adventures, or maybe they didn't care at all. I'm going to go with maybe they didn't care at all in the first place, because none of these movies were super successful. And there were so many other movies that came out in the summer of 89.
89% critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 83% from the fans,
mm-hmm.
7.5 on IMDb, and a 62 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
So
I'm in the Metacritic camp.
Good. Those are pretty good numbers, though, overall.
This movie also seems to have... I did a fair bit of looking into this, and the new 4K master just came out, which I got to watch, and it does look incredible. But fans have been clamoring for this release for a long time. Like, people love this movie, and I don't see it. Like you said, I think the behind the scenes is way more interesting than the movie itself. It's technically brilliant, and it looks great, and the 4K master looks awesome. But as a movie, it's just kind of, it's all right.
It was re-released in theaters recently too.
Yeah, with the new master. That's why it was re-released. It was released in that 4K transfer. Yeah.
I watched the director's cut, three hours.
And I watched the theatrical cut. And I wish I watched the director's cut.
I'm not sure what the difference is. I guess...
I know, actually, because I kind of looked it
up. What is the difference?
So apparently in your cut, there is a kind of a Cold War subplot.
Yes.
None of that's in the theatrical cut.
Oh, really?
Or at least almost none of it. Like,
okay.
The Russians get a passing mention. I know in your cut, the ending is like completely different, because the ending in the theatrical cut just like it comes out of nowhere. he, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but whatever. He descends. He sees the alien ship, Ed Harris, and then it just like cuts, and we get none of the tidal wave. That's not in there at all.
Really?
And then the movie just ends. It's a happy ending. The movie just ends. The alien ship comes up. Everybody's reunited. Everybody's safe, and then that's the ending of the movie.
See, that's my biggest problem with this movie.
Okay.
I feel like it would have been far better as almost like a thriller horror kind of film where the horror is you're trapped.
Yes.
You know, miles below sea, and there's really no way to get out.
Okay, because I had the same thought. I think this movie would be infinitely better if there were no aliens
in it. I agree.
Okay, glad we're on the same page.
The aliens is what fucking ruins this whole thing for me.
Yeah, it doesn't ruin... I guess, I don't know if it ruins it for me. I guess, like, I just had a note in here that just said, why are there aliens in this movie? It makes it so disjointed. I agree with you. The drama of this movie, the thrust of this movie should be, we're trapped undersea after trying to rescue a nuclear submarine, and we got to get to safety. That's it.
Well, totally, it's so out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And even the score, when the aliens show up, it puts this movie into like a whole nother category.
I completely agree. And I love the score.
Like, in your cut, did Ed Harris hold the alien's hand and they swam like it was...
Yes, that's in my
Atlantis?
Cut.
Atlantis? Yes. Okay.
But, and it was such a... tonally, it's so jarring because this movie starts... So when this movie started, I was watching it. I start these movies pretty late at night, and I texted Mike, and I was like, It's so grounded, and it's so dark and scary. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch this tonight because this will not put me to sleep. This will give me nightmares. So I'm going to watch this in the afternoon. And then by the end of the movie, yeah, it's Ed Harris holding hands flying over Atlantis with an alien with Disney music swelling in the background. And I'm like, what the fuck is this movie? It's so strange. It also just, like, the whole thing is, like I said, technically brilliant, right? And that's Cameron. I don't get along with Cameron's movies. I haven't seen a lot of them. I don't like Titanic. I love T2. Love this. And I've never seen Avatar because I don't care. My issue with this movie is it's all style over substance. It's all amazing technical effects, pushing the boundaries, and I think that's all amazing. But... the story, the characters, everything is just paper thin.
Avatar feels a lot like that too. James Cameron is always trying to push some kind of anti-war, pro-environmental message in every film he has. That's definitely the theme with Terminator.
Yeah.
The theme here too. I can't believe they cut that tidal wave scene out. I mean, that had to have cost a pretty penny to make all that happen.
So I know the story behind it. ILM did most of the special effects in this. They did the great CG water alien thing, which I still think looks very good.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, the studio was already pressuring him to cut stuff out of it. And they had done a practical tidal wave. And he thought it looked like shit. And I saw it, and it did look like shit. And he just wasn't happy with it. And then it was just a few years later. It was in like the early 90s for a Laserdisc release that ILM was able to do a CG tidal wave. And he thought it looked much better, so he put it back in. So the director's cut's been around for a long time. The director cut itself has been around for like 30 years.
Okay.
But that's why they cut it, because it just didn't look good. And the studio was like, this is an undersea kind of like throwback B-movie sort of thing. Like, this is not a three-hour movie. I'm sorry. Also... they're kind of common now, but in 89, a three-hour movie was like the death knell for your box office returns.
Let's talk about the like, especially the underwater effects they have in this movie, because James Cameron, I guess the way they used to do things back in the days is they would just shoot in the desert and have people kind of move slowly.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do that.
No.
So they shot this in Detroit, a lot of it, and they had these... these like deep sea diving tanks, you know, I think they were training
South Carolina.
I'm sorry, South Carolina. Yes.
It was an abandoned nuclear plant in South Carolina. And they showed it to James Cameron, and they were like, oh, see, you can use these tanks as tanks. And then he saw the actual, like what was going to be the nuclear reactor. And he was like, no, I want to use this as a tank because it's way bigger.
Yeah.
And it is impressive.
So he put these actors through fucking hell to make this movie.
Yeah, that's like an understatement. That's the interesting part about this movie.
And it's traumatized. Ed Harris, to this day, will not discuss the making of this movie.
Same with Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. She will not talk about it.
I guess she had nervous breakdowns after this. Ed Harris was literally driving on the road, had to pull off the side of the road and started breaking down crying because he was so distraught after the making of this film.
Yeah. Ed Harris, notorious softy Ed Harris. yeah. And even like stranger than that, Cameron was pushing people so hard that when Ed Harris pulled off to the side of the road, he broke down and cried. And then when he was done crying, he was mad at himself that he couldn't finish the shot. And it was like, you almost died. And you were mad at yourself that you didn't get the shot right?
Well, let's talk
Goodness gracious.
Let's talk about that scene. Do you know what scene in particular they were filming?
I do. It's the end scene.
Okay, where he's going down.
It's where he's descending. And it's, in the movie, he's supposed to be breathing the...
liquid oxygen.
Yeah, the liquid oxygen, which is real,
yes. By the
way, which is interesting.
Yes.
But in this movie, obviously, they weren't using that. He was, and they didn't use any type of effect. They were just flooding his underwater helmet with water and having him hold his breath for as long as he could, which this is fucking insane. I have a thought about that. This is at the very end we'll get to, but they were having him just hold his breath, and it's not like he's under 5 feet of water. They're 55 feet down, which is really deep.
Yeah.
And he had just emergency divers next to him where when he would, need oxygen, he would take his helmet off, he would get his oxygen, and then he would, this whole thing gives me the willies.
How do you even act in a situation like that?
Oh, man, that's crazy. That's the crazy thing. I don't know. And the wild thing is, for as many problems as I have about this movie, is I think the performances are all really good.
They are.
Anyway, so it was one of those scenes where he was diving, helmet got flooded, his emergency diver got tangled, and then the backup or the cameraman gave him an oxygen tank, but he gave it to him with the mouthpiece upside down, and he inhaled a bunch of water. So he tried clearing it, inhaled a bunch of water again. And again, when you're 40 or 50 feet down, that's a long way to swim up.
Panic is setting in too.
Panic is setting in. Your heart's racing. You need more oxygen. Like you can absolutely drown. Multiple people, James Cameron almost drowned on set. I think Michael Biehn, he didn't almost drown, but he recounted an incident where they were shooting and all the lighting went down. And it was so dark that he couldn't see his hands in front of him.
Yeah, I read that too.
He didn't know where other people were, and he didn't know how much oxygen he had left. He didn't know which way to swim.
This is notorious for being one of like the worst productions of all time.
Yeah. Most punishing, for sure.
Again, and these are the things we're talking about, because the movie itself... Look, so in the beginning, there's like an American nuclear submarine that is... I don't know, they're looking for Russians or whatever. The alien is the one that swims by and turns off all the lights. And when the lights come back on, they crash. So now Ed Harris is down there doing what, oil?
Well, okay, so that's the thing. At no point in this movie is anybody's motivation or anybody's setup all that clear.
Yeah.
From what I can
tell. Except the military that goes down.
Except the military that goes down. But even that is a little unclear, because I wish they would have fleshed that out a little bit. Like, because everything about the military guys seems very conspiratorial. And one of them is suffering from pressure sickness. He's going a little bit crazy. But even that's kind of not clear. But as far as I can tell, Ed Harris is working on an oil rig, and he and his X, Brigman, that's Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, like design underwater rigs. They're like half oil people, half scientists,
yeah,
from what I gather. And that's why when we opened, I said she was playing just bitch, because this movie has one female character and they treat her very poorly. She is, her character is just ball breaker, and everybody calls her a bitch constantly, including herself.
There's a black chick in there too.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So there's two, but okay. Yeah.
And they treat her much better.
Yeah. She's really just a background. I mean, she has her moments, but...
She's not a leading character.
Yeah.
When this movie started, I texted you and I said, oh my goodness, as soon as she's introduced, was James Cameron going through a divorce during this movie? Is this like a Temple of Doom situation? And yes, he was. He was going through a divorce with his co-producer who produced this movie.
Yeah.
And because I was like, man, this movie just feels... Even her character aside, everything in this movie just feels kind of mean, like mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Which makes sense when you see everything that everybody was going through. Of course, everyone was on edge. And yes, indeed, James Cameron was going through a divorce. And I do think he took some of that out on this character.
She's a total ball buster. I mean...
Yeah, she is. But I mean, everybody...
She softens up at the end.
Oh, yeah. Really softens up.
But...
She even at one point calls herself... I think she says she's a cast iron bitch.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. Like, we get it. We get it, James Cameron. You're mad at women at this moment.
The most terrifying parts of this entire movie is, when they're having problems, there's flooding issues, they're racing against time to try to like survive these situations.
Yeah, the claustrophobia is really it makes you feel it.
And even the you could tell right away when they go to find the submarine, they know nobody's alive in there. So the military is trying to get nukes off of the sub. That's the plan.
Yeah, because ostensibly this is a search and rescue mission, right?
Yeah.
They're going through the submarine and they're finding bodies and they're saying like, well, we can't help them. Maybe we can help the people in the next compartment. How?
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
Exactly.
Yeah. You open the door, you depressurize and you flood them, like even assuming they're sealed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the military is there strictly to recover all the nuclear weapons.
That was one thing I wondered too in the beginning. If the hole was punctured, wouldn't that be decompression and that whole sub would just be like a tin can smashed up?
Depends how deep it is.
Well, they were pretty fucking deep.
Yeah, they were really deep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because we see a sub collapse later on.
Coffee's, Kyle Reese is the one that dies. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Which, by the way, I think that's the best part of the movie. The race or not race, the confrontation between Ed Harris's character and Lieutenant Coffee, which
played by Kyle Reese,
which then leads to a submarine battle, which is very tense. Which ends in his death, which the sub does implode in that case.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I just...
Look, the science of this is a little wonky, well, okay?
Let's talk about the scene that we played in the beginning here.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is right after that, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the result of that scene. And it ends with Ed Harris and Brigman.
This is where it tends to go off the rails for me because maybe I'm wrong. I'm no doctor. But I just find it extremely hard to believe that she's going to get hypothermia. He's going to swim 20 minutes back to the other sub with her in tow, throw her on the deck, and they zap her about 8,000 times.
Uh-huh.
And he does mouth-to-mouth chest compressions, and she's dead. And then he like smacks her in the face, and that kind of brings her out of
it. And calls her a bitch again.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, well, I am a bitch. I guess I should sit up.
So even if you do recover from that, okay, let's assume you can.
Uh-huh.
She just takes a little fucking cat nap and she's right as rain. She's like the next scene.
Yeah, she's ready to get back to being a huge bitch.
She would be in a fucking coma and probably having to learn how to walk again.
Well, she'd be dead, to be clear.
But let's assume she could survive.
Okay, yes. You're not just going to walk it off.
The path to recovery.
Long.
Yes.
Yeah, very long.
She may be in a fucking wheelchair the rest of her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
It's like the next scene. She's fine.
Yeah, it's almost like this movie is stupid.
Yes.
Yeah. This movie is all about James Cameron trying to kill his cast members and push the boundaries of technology and visual effects in movies.
Let's talk about the fight. The real fight.
Which fight?
Ed Harris punching James Cameron right in the fucking face. Oh,
the actual fight. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was actually multiple punching on this movie. James Cameron punched somebody. Ed Harris punched James Cameron. Master Antonio, I mean, just to finish up that scene, I do think our versions might have been a little different. The version in the theatrical cut also goes on pretty long, but the way you were describing it really made it sound like it went on forever. And in the cut that I watched, they swim from the sub to the underwater base, but it's like pretty quick. It's like one shot with him just like swimming with her in his arms.
Is. Yeah, it is.
Okay, and then it's still pretty long. Maybe it was cut down a little bit, but that was the scene where she walked off because she was, I mean, she had her shirt was open, so exposed.
Yeah.
She was freezing, and Cameron, who's crazy, it just was like, another cut, another take, until he finally ran out of film. And she was like, she got up and she said something like, hey, we're not animals here, we're people.
Oh, shit.
And you're treating us like animals. And she walked off the set. I mean,
she's got her tits out for this scene, too.
Absolutely. Like, and she's wet and freezing, and everybody hates James Cameron at this point. And
well, in the cut that I watched, they literally stopped working on her. Did they do that in yours?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so this, you're probably, maybe just felt longer to me.
Okay.
Because he's like, she's gone, and they don't do shit. And then he just goes back at it again. You know
okay,
what I mean?
It sounds the same then. Maybe okay. It just, yeah. It still goes on it goes on for a bit. It really goes on forever. Yeah, but all the, like, the cutaways to Ed Harris's face being like, wake up,
you
bitch.
Yeah.
That was all, she wasn't there for that. That's why they were doing close-ups on his face.
Who'd James Cameron punch?
When he almost drowned. He was underwater, couldn't get oxygen, and somebody, it was either his safety diver, His assistant had forgotten to check his oxygen tank. He was out of oxygen trying to get to the surface. And these guys had to decompress. They couldn't just surface. And a safety diver or another assistant like tried to stop him because they thought he was just having a freak out. So he punched the other person underwater so he could swim up top.
Holy shit.
But yeah, Ed Harris punched James Cameron.
That was after he almost drowned,
after
right?
he almost drowned. Yeah, yeah, he got out and he smacked him. And
well, yeah, because Cameron just kept filming. He didn't give a shit that he was drowning.
No, Cameron was off the rails on this movie, clearly. I mean, I watched some interview clips of him after this, and people, you know, at the time, people would ask him, like, sounds like you might have gone a little far on this shoot. And he was like, yeah, I might have lost perspective a little bit. I was completely obsessed.
James Cameron is a smug prick, for those of you that don't know.
Oh, he absolutely is. I don't like James Cameron.
His fucking interview tour with that sub that, or not the, what is it, submersible.
Oh, yeah, the one that sunk last year was, yeah, collapsed.
He was on every channel, like, yeah. I told him. You know, I know best, and yeah. I told him not to do this, and I knew this was going to happen, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, oh, God, like, shut up, dude.
I know, like 10 people are dead. Is the I Told You So tour really appropriate right now?
Exactly, man.
Maybe wait a few days.
I just thought it was in bad taste, yeah. man.
He did all the interviews from his submarine. It's great. Just like, this is a real submarine.
Yeah.
I'm James Cameron, and I'm the smartest person on the planet.
Yeah.
I've made 2 movies in the last 20 years.
Excuse me.
Yeah. What else? What was your favorite part of the movie? Because that was mine. The big submarine chase. I liked that. Because I actually felt something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. The worst part was the entire end.
I agree with that. From I think everybody thinks
time
that.
Time he's on a magical carpet ride with that alien.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this tidal wave thing that all stops. And they decide not to do it because Ed Harris told his wife he loved her. And then he sends this message. Oh, the aliens say to stop being mean to each other. And that's literally what happens.
This reminds me of the Batman v Superman when Superman says Martha. And Batman's yes. like, Martha? Okay, I won't kill you, I guess.
Exactly. So
that's pretty dumb.
Then the whole like alien ship thing surfaces up.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Harris runs out, and it's a big, you know, like big happy ending. Like
that's
you said.
The ending that I got too. Yeah,
it just feels so out of place with the rest of the movie, especially the way it started.
Yeah, extremely. It starts as a Cold War, like horror movie thriller. This movie reminded me, maybe just the how it looked, because it was so blue and purple. It did look really good. The 4K transfer is excellent.
Okay.
And actually, you know, I did want to talk about that a little bit, so let's talk about that now, because you know I'm a little physical media obsessed.
Uh-huh.
I won't be buying this on 4K, to be clear,
because
I don't like this movie. This movie was almost entirely unavailable before these new 4K transfers. It was never released on Blu-ray. Same with True Lies and I believe the first Terminator. Barely streamed anywhere. I'm sure it was, you know, you could rent it, but it didn't really stream. Also, same with True Lies, because we were going to do True Lies not that long ago.
Was Cameron wasn't True Lies, though, right? He directed True Lies?
Yeah.
Fuck, I didn't know that.
I think so. Hang on, I could be wrong. And before these 4K releases, they were just like really hard to find. You basically had to go find an old out-of-print DVD if you wanted to watch The Abyss or watch it on TV, or I'm sure rent it on Amazon, but even that was like, you know, a DVD rip. The 4K copy I thought looked incredible. Uh-huh. It did garner some controversy amongst the nerds because apparently Cameron used not a small amount of AI to upscale the movie. And I kind of noticed it when I was watching. I was like, wow, this really looks incredible.
That would have been fucking awesome if he George Lucas this.
Well, yes.
There's just random aliens like swimming around in the background. And
I thought it looked great. But if anything, I did notice where I was like, man, this almost looks too good for 1989. Like it's a little too glossy, a little too smooth. And then sure enough, it's like, oh yeah, he fucking like just, he just redid everything was just like glossy and glowing, and I was I've kind of fell down a rabbit hole, and I started looking at some of the like Titanic comparisons too, from the DVD to the 4K, and same thing, man. Rose is looking glowing in that movie. Like I saw that movie in theaters. She did not look like that in theaters. So I don't know. Apparently Cameron does do some he does do some George Lucasing with his movies.
The thing about James Cameron is, he is like a real director.
Oh, yeah.
Technically, sound and efficient, like some of the greats, no doubt about it. His movies are all hits. I mean, this is probably like...
This is like the lowest grossing to budget, but it's still, like, it wasn't a failure.
Yeah. No. But, like, all his films are highly regarded as, like, legendary. Even this, you know, it's garnered that over time.
People love this movie. It's just us. And, yes, he did direct True Lies. I just confirmed.
Good God. I never knew that, dude. Yep.
Well, I was thinking about that afterwards because I know he did T2 after this, which is a much better movie. And then he did a switch because True Lies is a very different, like, tonally, that's a very different film.
I love that movie.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Oh, man.
And then Titanic, obviously, is... you know, a completely different beast entirely, even though it's still, again, like pushing the boundaries of CG and models and big sets and all that stuff. He's so good at that.
You know, it's funny. Now that I'm kind of thinking back to True Lies, stylistically, I see it.
Okay.
That is a James Cameron movie. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I never put two and two together on that. That would be a fun one to do down the road.
Yeah, we should. The guy had a very busy early 90s, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, T2, True Lies, then writes Titanic, and then he directed nothing for 12 years until Avatar.
So what are some other salacious things that happened on the production of this?
All right, let's see. What else do I got here? What else do I got? James Cameron is pretty famous for actors coming back to work with him again, or really everybody coming back to work with him again. Almost nobody in this cast or crew ever worked with him again. Which is notable.
He really was at a dark point in his life, huh?
He really... Well, I mean, yeah, I watched... there was a documentary that I really wanted to watch called Under Pressure, about The Abyss, that Cameron himself made. And much like The Abyss up until a few months ago, it's really hard to find. I guess it's on the DVD special features. I wanted to stream it or rent it or whatever, and it's kind of just not out there. So I watched some other stuff, but yeah, man, some of the behind-the-scenes video of him, he looks like... He looks like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining.
Good
when
God.
He's just lost his slept mind. In days. Yes, yeah. Exactly. He's been living underwater for like 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
He's got this like crazy hair and a beard going, and he's like his eyes are just laser focused. He would do things. He was so committed. He would do things because they all had to decompress at the end of the day for a couple hours. So they didn't get sick. And he would watch dailies suspended upside down in the water using this specially made underwater camera. So he could like keep the production going.
Wow.
And so instead, and he was working like 15, 16 hour days. Like again, respect the dedication. I think it's impressive.
The process too, to make a film like this, because if you were to make this today, it would be 99.9% in front of a green screen.
Yes. And that was my last note that I had. So we'll just talk about it now real quick. I think this movie, and I'm the first to harp on overuse of CGI and green screen and all that stuff.
This is some of the earliest ones.
Yeah, this is some of the earliest CGI. It was barely a thing before this. I think a movie like this and a production like this is an argument for why CG is good.
Sure.
Because for as impressive as this is, and it is, it looks really good. I think almost killing half your cast and crew is not worth it. I don't think for a movie, especially a movie that's ultimately a big shoulder shrug, I just don't think it's worth it. Like, I do think, yes, you do some of this stuff for real, and then you CGI, or these days you would at least CGI the water in Ed Harris's helmet so he doesn't die.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Like, this is the argument for why safety is better than taking all these crazy risks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Would it be as cool? Would it look as good? No. But given how dangerous this stuff is, I just don't think it's worth it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? I think we've covered a lot. Oh, Mike, we said most people wouldn't work with him. Michael Biehn was the only one that did. And I read that Alan Silvestri worked with him again as well, but I don't know what production that was for.
Yeah, but the composer wasn't fucking...
No, he wasn't...
52 feet.
No, he wasn't composing underwater.
Yeah, exactly.
Cameron was like, I just imagine Alan Silvestri being like, I don't know, I thought the production was fine. Well, you weren't there.
Why are you guys being a bunch of pussies?
Yeah, why are you guys wimping out? It's the abyss, all right? You guys, it's fine. It's fine. He's just drinking tea. I wanted to talk about the lighting. The first engineer they went to talk about how do we light this thing, because they're underwater, was like... Oh, so you want me to create a lighting rig that will submerge into this 7 million gallons of water around all these people? oh, you're all going to be electrocuted and die immediately. Like, this is impossible. And then James Cameron was like, well, on to the next guy. So he just went and found somebody else and said, oh, yeah, I can do it. And he did. And he created, again, this has never been done before. He created an all new system for how to light things underwater safely. And it worked fine, fortunately. It was used on a ton of productions after this. And even NASA used the technology, which is super impressive.
Well, I think if you look at a lot of James Cameron productions, too, he innovates.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is so important about James Cameron is he is an innovator.
Avatar was never done. No movie was ever made like that.
Absolutely. And that technology is great. It'll be used again, hopefully on better movies. To me, James Cameron is an amazing innovator, but his movies lack any type of heart or character that I can care about. Except, again, I love T2, and it's been forever since I've seen True Lies, so TBD on those. But I'm glad he does what he does. But it's not what I look for in a movie.
True Lies has one of the greatest endings to any movie I've ever seen.
Okay, and I don't remember whatever it is. So.
Oh, dude. It's fucking awesome. So he's flying a Harrier, Arnold, right? And the terrorist jumps onto the Harrier. Mm-hmm. And Arnold is like punching him and controlling the jet at the same time. And he does a hard left turn. The terrorist falls off the Harrier. And like his little back strap gets hooked onto a missile. Arnold looks to the right. And there's the enemy helicopter on the other side of the building where all the windows are blown out. And then Arnold just goes, it's like, dun-dun, dun-dun, dun. You're fired. He shoots the rocket. The rocket has a terrorist on it, goes through the blown out building to the other side and blows up the helicopter.
Amazing.
So great, dude.
Okay, well, now we need to do True Lies because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a fucking blast, dude.
We should have done True Lies instead of this.
That might, like, if I were to really think about it, and I know we already did our top tens, like, that would be cracking the top 10.
Interesting. Okay.
I've seen that movie so many times, dude. Notice how we're talking about a bunch of different things.
Yeah, just not this movie.
This was fucking disappointing for me.
It was disappointing for me, too. I had seen this movie before. Me too. Once when I was in high school.
Years ago.
And I remember liking it. I don't remember loving it. It wasn't something I ever sought out again. But when you said, oh, let's do The Abyss, I thought, oh, yeah, The Abyss is awesome. This is going
to
be great.
Well, I knew there was a lot to talk about behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, there's tons. We could go on for hours about just the trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the movie itself...
is just so... You're watching it, at least how I felt. You watch it, it's impressive. You appreciate it. It looks beautiful. It's well acted. It's well cast. But the characters, every character is a character you've seen 100 times before. The plot is a combination of stuff you've seen before. It's all just so thin.
Well, I think it's such a letdown, too, with the end.
The end is really bad. And that's not an unpopular opinion. Apparently, even people that really like this movie will bag on the ending pretty hard. Like, it just comes out of nowhere. It takes a pretty hard right turn. Doesn't make a lot of sense with the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it starts to get, I don't know, like preachy out of nowhere, dude.
That's James Cameron.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think he can help himself.
But at least Terminator, it makes sense in the context of the film and what's happening, right? Like, we joke around in these days all about AI and they've created all these, you know, cybernetic AI cyborgs and, oh, Skynet's coming online and shit like that. So that makes sense in the context of that world, right? Mm-hmm. This is just like there's people down deep DC diving and all of a sudden be nice to each other or we're going to create tidal waves.
We're going to flood your world if you're not nice to each other.
Yeah. It just comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
When you're not like sewing in your message into the film and into the plot, to me, that doesn't work.
I agree.
When you just kind of slap a sticker on right at the end and be like, world peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't feel like that works.
Well, I completely agree. And it's a hodgepodge of different stories. And so nothing is really cohesive. It's a love story because Ed Harris and the Brigman character are divorced. It's a paranoia thriller because some people are losing their minds. It's a it's sort of a horror film because they're all trapped underwater trying to survive. It's a survival movie. It's a disaster movie. It's a military movie. It doesn't know what it wants to be, so it keeps jumping from thing to thing, just trying to string together these set pieces that James Cameron had an idea for.
I guess you can argue because the military guys were trying to get the nuke that sets up the message at the end. I guess one could argue that, but I just don't feel like that plot point was strong enough. Like you said, it's all over the place. It's trying to tell four or five different stories.
Yeah, it's trying to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, something is there, right? About the military, their response to everything is just shoot a nuke at it.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's something. Maybe that's setting up some type of we need peace now message. But it's barely touched on. It's just kind of there.
Yeah. And again, like, this is one of those movies where the United States is just the center of the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the 80s.
You know, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I don't know. Just obviously, that's a low point in the film for you as well.
The ending?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had one more piece of, like, what the fuck trivia.
Yeah, yeah.
When Lieutenant Coffee steals the submersible and goes down under the sea, they were firing at him. They were firing guns at him. That was live ammo.
Are you fucking serious?
Uh-huh.
Why?
That's what I have in my notes. Is like, I just wrote down, live ammo was used to fire at the departing Lieutenant Coffey. In quotes, what the fuck? Like, why would you do that?
The absolute madman, dude.
You don't have to use live ammo.
What the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah.
So
now, he wasn't... excuse me. He wasn't descending. He wasn't actually in the sub. Obviously,
yeah,
extreme caution was taken.
Sure.
But firing bullets at water is really dangerous.
Yeah.
Bullets don't just go into water like they do in the movies all the time. They can skip off the surface.
That's, man, that is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've...
Is that all we got?
We've milked this for all it's worth.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of our shorter episodes, but there's just not as much meat on the bone here.
No.
Because we've talked about everything behind the scenes, and I feel like the movie itself does not... There's not a lot to say about it other than, you know, kind of the disaster of the end, you know?
It's a mess at the end. No, all the interesting stuff is behind the scenes.
Yeah, and the trauma it caused everybody for years.
Yeah, and the fact that all the actors were, you know, psychologically scarred and barely wanted to act again.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Just very disappointed with this.
Yeah, this was disappointing. I was looking forward to this, too.
If I'm being honest with you, I would not recommend.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Unless you're really fascinated with, like, the technical side of movie making.
Yeah.
And you just want to see a showcase of really impressive practical stunts.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yep.
Well, I guess that's it for this week.
That's it.
I think we'll have far more to talk about next week.
Yes.
But download the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, if that thing's still around, Google Play, wherever you can find them. Follow us on Instagram. I'll start posting again. As you can tell, it's wintertime, and, you know, we're not sounding our best.
No, sorry.
We're doing our best to get back into the swing of things, but that's it for now. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.